with God's help. First, I would like to convey my thanks and appreciation to the Friends of Al-Aqsa, especially to Ismail Patel for inviting me here, giving me the opportunity to be able to address this August gathering. May God bless them to be able to continue to do good work and work to further the truth of God throughout the world. And hopefully this will bring peace, as we've just heard. First, we have to hear the truth. My first thing is a prayer to God that He should bless me with His wisdom and the ability to convey His truth to this esteemed gathering and through the media, hopefully, throughout the world. And that it should be actually, I have a prayer that God should open the hearts of people. They should be able to understand and accept the truth when they hear it. The non-Jews, my cousins, who was no question they're my cousins, throughout the world, the Muslim people, and to the Jewish people, I have to have another special prayer that they should be able to hear what we say, because unfortunately, a very large segment of Judaism has been educated to scorn, to ridicule the teaching of the very orthodox Jewry, and therefore it is sometimes very, very hard for them, it's very difficult to be able to hear and accept our words. They will try to find a word or two that's maybe not 100% properly presented, and with that make away with the whole message. So we have a special prayer. God should open their hearts. They should be able to want to listen to the truth, hear it, and accept it. Assalamu alaikum. Shalom aleichem. Peace to all. One of the first things that we have to understand is that obviously the reason that I am here and people went to the trouble of bringing me here and bringing the other speakers and many, many conferences as such is because there is a big problem. There is a sickness throughout the world that seems incurable and seems to be spreading. There is constant strife throughout the world, and a lot of it is centered in the Middle East. A lot of it has to do with Jews and Muslims, and this is a sickness. And as we know, when there is a sickness, the first thing to do, if you've tried your local doctor and you haven't been able to cure the sickness through his antibiotics or whatever he's thrown at you, you try to look for a doctor who is more professional in this field, who can somehow diagnose the sickness. And everybody understands that that is the solution. First, we have to diagnose what the sickness is. Because if you won't diagnose what the sickness is, there's very, very little chance that you will be able to have a cure for the sickness. So, as again, has been mentioned before, the esteemed chair, that it is important that we speak the hard truths, we speak the truths, because this is basically the only way to come to a solution. If we understand what the problem is, we understand the different aspects of what's going on today, and then we can come to, God willing, to try to work to a solution, see what the solution is, what the cure is. So again, I pray to God to give me the proper words and the wisdom in this issue. Let us understand, there is Judaism and Zionism. Is it one and the same? What is Judaism? What is Zionism? How do they, if they are the same, then they're the same. But if they're different, how do they interplay? How do they interact? And that is what is going to be my subject. Judaism and Zionism, first and very short, Judaism is a religion. It's a nation, a people, serving God through a certain religion. Zionism is the transformation of this religion, this godliness, into a godless issue, a political entity, an entity of materialism, of having a land that is godless, the antithesis of what Judaism is. And now I'll get into the details that you should be able to understand, God willing, how this came about and what this is. Judaism was a belief through Abraham, who Abraham recognized the one God, that there's one God who controls the whole world, and the world belongs to this one God. And according to the Jewish belief, he gave it over to his child, Isaac, Yitzchak, and he gave it over to Ishmael. And the Jewish belief goes further, Jacob, Yaakov, and then afterwards the 12 tribes, and from them their children afterwards accepted the Torah, the Bible, the Torah on Mount Sinai. The Torah was divided, according to the Jewish belief again, into two entities. There is the written law, which would be the five books of Moses, the books of the prophets, and then there is the oral law, which would be the Talmud. And afterwards, the law books, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Rambam, Maimonides, and many such law books. And any person who was considered a true follower of the Jewish religion, universally, this is the way. You have to follow these two things, the written law and the oral law. If you digress from them, if you stray from the written law and the oral law, in other words, if you'll just follow the written law and you will not accept the Talmud and the Shulchan Aruch, then you are not following Judaism. And there is no two ways about it. This is what Judaism is. This is what Orthodox Jewry taught us. And this is the only type of Judaism that we do accept. Because this was what God gave to Moses, and he told us this is the way to follow me, to follow God in Judaism. Now, on Mount Sinai, when the Jewish people accepted the Torah to follow God, they accepted upon themselves a yoke, an extra yoke. Every human being has to serve God. God created every human being. In fact, in one of the books of the prophets, the Tanit VeElyohu, Elijah the prophet, writes that every human being, whether he's Jew or non-Jew, child, woman, man, slave in those days, every human being, if he does not commit adultery, idol worshipery, kill, steal, if he's a righteous person, then he will inherit the world to come. That is the Jewish belief. Every human being was created by God and will inherit the world to come if he's a righteous person. Judaism was the acceptance of an extra yoke, of being v'atem tiyuli mamleches kehanim v'goy kadosh. You should be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. That means we accepted an extra yoke of 24 hours, 7 days a week, of serving God with many commandments, of many issues that are forbidden to us, and many things that we must do. Spend the days in prayer and the people of the book studying and doing many commandments. This yoke put us on a position that God wants us to be on a higher level in our actions, and He requires of us to be compassionate on a higher level, and He inspects our lives much more closely because we've accepted to be a nation of priests. And at the time of Mount Sinai, He said, as it says in the Bible many times, that God had His land, the land of Israel where He rests, so to say. God is throughout the world, but in all over the world, but His special, let's call it God's garden, is the land of Israel. And He said that I'm giving this to you because I want you to, as a nation of priests, to serve me in this land. There was people who were living there before, and God said that they weren't up to par, they weren't acting holy enough, so they defiled the land, and they were being sent out of the land, and the Jewish people will replace them there, as God promised to Abraham. Now, He stipulated very clearly, it says many times in the verses of the Chumash, of the Bible, the books, five books of Moses, many times there's verses very similar to V'losoki ha'aretz eschem b'tam achem also, the land she gurgitates you, b'tamachem, also when you defile the land. In other words, the Jewish people have to be on a certain level of holiness. If not, that the land will actually throw them out. It will not accept these people. The land of Israel requires a special holiness. There's many mitzvot, many commandments that have to do only with the land of Israel, giving tenths of the fruits, and many, many such commandments, and altogether the spirituality of a person has to be on a higher level in the land of Israel. Now, the prophets, if you study the Ezekiel, Yirmiyahu, Jeremiah, and many of the books, they all speak about how the Jewish people were warned many times by the prophets when they were straying that they will be sent out of the land. Till eventually the time came that God did send the Jewish people out of the land because they weren't up to the level that God required of them there. And it says, God, with his great compassion, spilled his anger on wood and on stone, in other words, on the temple. By destroying the temple, instead of destroying the Jewish people, he destroyed the temple and he sent the Jewish people into exile. That was part of God's compassion. And we were sent into Golus, into exile, around 2,000 years ago. The Jewish people were God-fearing people, and they accepted that we were sent into exile. This was clearly written in the books of the prophets. We understood that we weren't up to par, and we had great leaders, great rabbis, and they told us this is the result of our not being loyal enough to God, that we are in exile. And God stipulated when he sent us into exile, you are forbidden to try to return to this, to the land of Israel en masse, as it says in the Talmud, clearly in Ksubos, one of the tractates of the Talmud, Ksubos, page 111, that God sent the Jewish people and told them, I'm putting you under three oaths. You shall not go up en masse back to the land of Israel. You shall not rebel against any nation. We are forbidden to rebel against the nation. You should not try to bring about the end of exile. We must be patient in exile that God sent us to the diaspora throughout the world. We have to be patient and wait for the time when God will feel that we have repented enough, that he feels it's proper, and then he himself, God, without any human intervention, will bring back the people of the children of Israel, these who accepted the Torah, and they will be returned to the land of Israel to again serve God. Till that time, we are forbidden to return en masse. As individuals, we are allowed to be there, but en masse, we are forbidden. We are forbidden to take any actions in that end to try to return. As Suba says that if you will not obey these oaths of God, then you will be severely punished by God. God forbid, you will be severely punished, as King Solomon writes in Shir Hashirim, Hishbati eschem benois Yisrael, benois Yerushalayim ba'yolos, betzvos ba'yolos asode, te'iruvim te'oru sahava chetechbots. I have this Shir Hashirim, the Song of Songs, which was written by King Solomon, is a prophecy. And in that book, King Solomon wrote in parables that God, and it says over there that God said, Hishbati, I have sworn you the daughters of Jerusalem. B'tzavos, b'yolos asada, with the deer bucks of the field, im te'iruvim te'oru es ahavet, you will try to awaken the love ad shetechpats before the time is proper. And the Gemara Ksubos, the tractate says in the Talmud, in where I mentioned before, that it's going on that issue of the oaths of God of leaving exile, that if you will try to leave exile, you will become like the animals of the field. You will be regarded like the animals of the field. Unfortunately, today, with the deaths and destruction that we know, even to the Jewish people, our rabbis say this is a direct result of this that has happened over 50 years ago by Hitler. Now, again, I'm not saying that is the only reason. I'm not getting into the technicalities of what we're not prophets, why Hitler came about and all that, but that's a whole different subject, which I can't, the time does not permit to get into that. Our rabbis do say, though, that one, it says very clearly in the Shulchan Aruch, in the books, the law books, that when anything happens, good or bad, to a person, he should look at his deeds and see what brought about this terrible tragedy. And the rabbis I've many times spoken about the fact that we were made like animals, we were made into soap bars and by Hitler. And one of the reasons is because we've rebelled against God by trying to leave exile. Again, there's many other reasons, maybe. There's many people weren't loyal to God. They weren't watching the Sabbath. They were doing many other sins. And we're not getting it. But one of the issues that we just want to bring here, that people should see a little bit of a window into what's going on, that when we, God forbid, if you rebel against God, what the results could be. And it says if you will try to leave exile, you will be like the animals of the field. And today, with what's going on with suicide bombers, with many other issues, you can see what this, our rabbis warned us then, that this is the result, this will happen, the death and destruction, if you will try to leave exile. Now, as I say, the Jewish people accepted exile. And our prayer is for the future, the ultimate, the geula, the redemption. What does redemption mean? What are we waiting for? We are waiting for ultimately when God himself, without any human intervention, will bring about the end of exile. What does that mean, the end of the exile? It means when God's glory will be recognized throughout the world by every human being. As by, and you know, in the United States, there's the United Nations, there's the Dag Hammarskjöld Plaza, and etched into the wall is a verse from Isaiah, from Yeshaya. It says over there that the nations will beat the swords into plowshares. The wolf will live with the sheep in peace. We are waiting and praying for that day. Ultimately, when there will be peace, when everybody will recognize the glory of God, that there is one God and serve him together in peace and harmony. This is our hope. This is what we yearn for. This is the goal of a Jewish person. This is in our prayers every single day. We do not look to build a nation as other nations. We do not look to build a state of Israel, a nation, a military stronghold. Something like this concept, totally opposite of what we are looking forward for. We're looking forward for the revelation of God and that every human being should serve God properly. This is the ultimate geula, the redemption, what we are hoping for, where all the nations together will serve God in harmony. Till that day, we accepted exile. We do not want to leave exile. We accept God's will, and we understand that God is totally compassionate, and he does what is good for us. The exile has another purpose besides to, as a medicine, a bitter medicine for the Jewish people. It is also that God wanted to spread out throughout the world to teach that we should be a light unto the nations, being that we are a nation of priests, of studying the Torah, of studying constantly about compassion, about how human beings should interact one with another. We should spread this light to other human beings. So that is the twofold issue of the golus, of the exile that the Jewish people are. That we should our haughtiness should be broken, we should accept God's yoke, and at the same time, we should be a light unto the nations. Now, this has been going on for 2,000 years. We've gone through many hardships in these 2,000 years. There's been the Spanish Inquisition, which is very famous, and there's many other time periods when Jewish people suffered. In fact, we have one of our books was Megillas Eva, which means the scroll of the hardships of hate that we've gone through days and days. In fact, Jewish people used to fast on days of as a remembrance of days of hardships. But the rabbi saw that there were so many fast days that they had to cancel that, unfortunately. This is Megillas Eva. And there is only one, we have a day of the remembrance of destruction, which is Tisha B'Av. And there's other three fast days. But basically, this Megillas Eva does exist, and there's many, many hardships. All these times, through the 2,000 years of exile, the Jewish people had opportunities. There were times when they were rich as throughout the world, and they had the opportunity to go and build a nation. But they never did that. Why? Because they've asked the rabbis, and there's responses in the books of the rabbis through the generations, that they asked the rabbis, maybe we should make our own entity. And the rabbi said, no, God forbid. This is forbidden by God. You're not here because you are physically weak. You didn't go into exile because you were physically weak. You were sent into exile because God sent you out of the land. So the solution is not a physical solution of gathering yourself together. You cannot shoot yourself out of a metaphysical happening. You can't shoot yourself out of exile. You can't take guns and think that you will somehow make a nation and that will be the ultimate solution. Because what you're actually doing is trying to ignore what God wants, and you're bringing upon yourself the animosity You're bringing upon yourself God's punishment, if you will try to do such a thing. And so the Jewish people understood that, and nobody went, and we never throughout our history tried to attempt it to make a state of Israel. Over around 200 years ago, there was a movement called Reform Judaism. Reform Judaism was a new thing, a new concept, that one could be a Jew, and not only can be a Jew, but he can have an official title. He can legitimize a different type of Judaism, a Judaism that is not bound by Torah. You don't have to be bound by the Torah that God bound us on Mount Sinai. Every Jewish soul was bound to God on Mount Sinai by accepting the Torah. Now, 200 years ago, some people who considered themselves brilliant people decided that they'll make a new Judaism, and instead of calling themselves Buddhist or some other name that I can't think of that I can't invent on the spot, but they'll call themselves Judaism, and they'll give it a legitimacy. They'll call it Reform Judaism. Now, Reform Judaism is really a contradiction. Judaism was a religion given by God to Moses. You can't reform what God gave you. God is the ultimate wisdom, and you can't take one letter and change it. And that is what Judaism is. But they made a new type of thing, and they wanted to legitimize it by calling themselves Reform Judaism. They wanted to assimilate. They said it will be easier for the Jewish people in exile. They're going to assimilate, and they're not bound by the Torah. Anyway, for over 100 years, this movement went on, and unfortunately, it spread mostly by the ignorance through the Jewish people. But they weren't very successful in stopping anti-Semitism. Why? Because like we say, we believe in God, and you can't fight the hands of God. So Zionism came along around 100 years ago, and they said, what's going on here? Theodor Herzl came along, and he was by a Dreyfus trial. If you've heard of the Dreyfus trial, there was a Jewish soldier who was accused of espionage, and it was blatant anti-Semitism. And it was a very famous trial. It wasn't true. It was totally not true, that he was a spy, and it was blatant anti-Semitism. And Theodor Herzl said, why was this person accused? He's not even, he wasn't a very practicing Jew. Why should he be accused? This is anti-Semitism. He was a secular Jew, basically, and we can't escape anti-Semitism even if we assimilate with nations. We have to think of a different solution. So he came up with the solution of isolation, basically, of making a new country. We will escape exile. We will make a military strong country. That is what Zionism is. But one thing they forgot, a little technicality. They forgot all about Judaism. They forgot about the Jewish belief. They ignored totally what God said to the Jewish people, that I put you in exile. You can't run away. You can't make your state. It's God who's running this world. But they ignored that because these were actually the grandchildren of assimilated Jews. They were totally estranged from Judaism. So they didn't put God into the equation. They looked at suffering, and they didn't see that it's God's hand. So they just looked at it as a physical weakness. And the solution to a physical weakness is to build a physically strong entity. That is why they decided they're going to create a state. That's not really why they decided. These people basically actually hated the Jewish religion as a whole. They wanted to transform this Jewish nation from this old ghetto Jew, this rabbis with the black hats and the black coats, make him into something respectable. They wanted to transform this Jew into a modern, educated, cultured Jew, in a similar to what Reform wanted, but they just had another way of doing this. And at the same time, they figured they will stop the suffering of Jewish people by creating this state. So now, I think it's quite clear, when I presented these two issues, that you see Judaism is a spirituality, the service of God, to be close to God, nothing to do with military. And Zionism, the antithesis, the diametric opposite, the a godlessness, the transformation of Judaism into something godless, into a political entity, something totally estranged from what Judaism is. How they could call themselves the Jewish state, how they could call themselves the representatives of Jewish people is beyond me. It's like if you would have a very eloquent speaker who was very successful and became a president of a big company, but an atheist, and he runs for the office of the Pope. Well, why shouldn't he be the Pope? He's an eloquent speaker. He has a lot of good plans. And why shouldn't he be the Pope? A little technicality. He doesn't believe in God, right? So that is what basically you have with Zionism. They're going to represent Judaism when they're totally the opposite of what Judaism is. Now, again, as we said, this Zionism decided that they're going to escape the exile and create their own state. They had a few problems, as I say. Firstly, we spoke about the fact that we are forbidden to leave exile. There is another issue here. They looked to go to Uganda, if you know, and other lands that was rich, the soil and so forth, but they realized, of course, that the Jewish people, for thousands of years, are bound by the rabbinical authorities, and even though the people, many of them are not learned people, but they still won't follow them. Why should they follow some idea from some a little group of people who came up with some new ideology? Why should these Jewish people, the nation, Jewish nation, follow them? So they said, you know what, we have a very simple solution. Let's go to Palestine. Every Jewish person in his prayers says in every day that we pray to return to the land of Israel. Again, as I've explained, it means to return to serve God, that God's glory should be elevated, that we should serve God in the land. That is what our prayers are. But they just transformed it slightly. They said, yes, we can return now to the land of Israel. This is what God wanted of us. The time has come, we should return. So by confusing, by muddling the issue of the end of exile, this is how they were able to con the Jewish people into following them in a large degree. Yeah.
Can you bring it?
Yes. So basically, the Zionists came and they were able to, they went to Palestine. Going to Palestine, they had another problem, a technical problem, because the land was occupied. So they had to sell to the world that the land of Israel is a land without a people for a people without a land. Jewish religion says, you shall not steal, you shall not kill. We are forbidden to take the land away from the Palestinian people. The land was occupied by Palestinian people. Even if it would be some other lands, we were forbidden to take the land from them. So besides the fact of exile, they are constantly stepping on the rights of the people, the indigenous population that were living there. A cardinal sin against the beliefs of the Torah. The Jewish people throughout the world hurt. And we are pained by constantly being misrepresented by Zionist ideology. And it's twofold, the tragedy that is being done to the Palestinian people, and it's being done in the name of Judaism, in the name of the Jewish people. We are being blamed for what is happening in the land of Israel, in the land of Palestine. It is clear, we have to state clearly, we are forbidden to, the land belongs to the Palestinian people. We are forbidden to take the land from them. It is not ours. The Zionists try to legitimize the taking of the land by waving the Bible, that it says that God gave the land to Abraham. Yes, but they forgot to wave all the books of the prophets. They forgot to wave everything, part of Judaism that says that God took the land from us and said that we are forbidden to go back there en masse. The land today belongs to the Palestinians. And we, as Jewish people throughout the world who are true to Judaism, want to live under the authority of the Palestinian people as is required by us by God. We have lived together in peace and harmony till around 100 years ago. Before the advent of Zionism came about, we were living door by door in peace and harmony. And this is a fact that you can ask the older generation. We had no problem. Religion wasn't an issue. We had a different religion for close to 1,000 years. Of course, when there's a different religion, there's always a little friction. But basically, as a whole, throughout the world, and especially in Palestine, we have many, many witnesses on this, written and oral, that we've been living together in peace and harmony. What came that changed this? Religion is different? As the Zionists constantly say that it's because of the religion. No. This started when Zionism came about, because the Palestinians recognized a threat to them, that they wanted to steal from them the land. We Jewish people, who are... They are also Jewish, but they're not following Judaism. We who are following Judaism say that they do not speak in our name, and we do not want this land. Now, it is important, now that we understand this, what the in essence, what the problem is Zionism, we have to look how to cure this problem, which I'm not going to get in right now to that. I'm going to close this. But we must first say, first of all, in the Torah, it says many times, if you go against God, the Sitzlach. Therefore, when they have the doves and the hawks and the hawks and the doves, every single day it changes, they'll never be successful. By the Oslo Accords, we stood there and said that they'll never be successful, although the whole world thought they will, because it's against God. As long as there is a state of Israel, there cannot be true peace, because God says the Jewish people are forbidden to have a land. We have to live under the rule of the indigenous people in peace and harmony, firstly. And for the Palestinian people and for the Muslim people throughout the world, we have to say, whenever you get into a conference, into a discussion, clarify yourself that you shouldn't be able to fall into the trap of Zionism. They want to condemn you as being an anti-Semite. You're against Judaism because they want to equate and put together Judaism with Zionism, and therefore you're an anti-Semite, and they play on the compassion of the world. Clarify yourself. No, you know now what Judaism is. Judaism is a belief to serve God and nothing to do with the acquisition of a land. So you are against what the Zionists are doing by what they're stealing the land and subjugating the Palestinian people, and you have nothing against Judaism. You are not interested in Jewish blood. This has to be clear. And in this way, you'll be able to present an argument that will be accepted. We pray the Jewish people should understand and look for the truth and understand in their minds, although they've had so many years of false training, they should look to the old rabbis, and I can't now get into it. We have in our website.
Yeah, thank you, Rabbi.
I'll finish. NKUSA.org. We have all the documents, how the rabbis, how you see clearly that it's against God. We know that if you will, the solution is if you will follow God, if you will go back to the Torah and stop Zionism, then God will help that there will be true peace. We'll be able to return. So our prayer is we should be able to live again in peace without a Zionist state, and then we pray that God's glory, it should happen peacefully and speedily, and then God's glory will be throughout the world, and we'll have again live in harmony. Amen.